Yes, I was wondering if I could get driving directions to a nightclub called...
Hello, sweetie. No, we're in Germany right now. Maybe we can talk to you later? All right, we miss you.
Bye, Amy.
Bye, sweetie.
I think we're supposed to turn.
I thought you knew exactly where we were going.
What was that?
We came from over here, I swear. We just got a little lost.
A little lost?
Yes,
we are not a little lost. We are really lost.
Hello, can anyone help? We got a flat tire. Can we come in?
Something to drink? You're tourists.
We are on a road trip through Europe.
Yeah.
Can you call the emergency car service for us?
You have a really lovely home.
A Siamese triplet connected via the gastric system. The human centipede, the sequence. We start with cutting the ligaments of the kneecaps. So wahnsinnig!
Komm her! Kommst du her!
Open the door!
You need help! You're a sick man!
Today, as winter is leaving us behind for spring, I thought it would be a good time to discuss a movie that at its core is about bringing people together. Literally. Yes, today I'm here with some very special friends discussing the 2009 Art Nouveau classic, A Human Centipede. But I'm not in this chain alone. No. As usual.
I want to be in the middle.
Well, I'm going to the end first, because I am here with my usual band of merry men. First up is a man who got a little too excited when I sent him an ass to mouth video to watch, not realizing that it was actually this cinematic dynamo. Mr. Christopher Mars, how are you doing this evening, and what are you drinking?
I am doing well, gentlemen. Doing well.
There's the promo for Twitter right there. Boom, beautiful.
Here we go. Is that the artwork?
No, he recreated that.
Oh, nice. I redrew it. I'm just drinking straight vodka. I want to keep the mouth
clean,
sterile. You know, very antiseptic. Good, yeah. Sterile is the word. So I'm drinking.
Keep a good flow.
But I thought I was in the front. That's the only way to do this. I'm not.
That's fine. You know, if I have to bury myself into our next guest, that's fine. Next up is a man who he's put his own head in his own ass a few times, but I'm not sure he's ever done it to anyone else. And if he has, I'm sure it was consensual, and I would love to see some pictures. Mr. David Corsetto, how are you doing on this fine spring day, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, Mikey. I'm just going to be drinking some kind of basic bourbon like I always do.
Will that burn?
Pretty easy.
Will that burn coming through?
It burns. Well, it's
going to
be
going down.
It's going to be a little spice. But here's the thing. I can't drink it because I'm attached to Chris's rectum. So how do
That's
I drink
true.
It?
You get whatever Chris.
I'm
you get his
drippings. Vodka.
You get his drippings.
I'm just.
You know, I'm just very excited. They never. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your drink.
Ooh.
As he's finishing his drink, literally.
No.
What were you going to say, sir? So, yeah.
I was going to say they never... Go ahead.
I can't talk. My mouth is so shut. Stop.
They never thought we would be brave enough to do this. They just, you know, it's kind of... They dared us to do this.
It's been
unwatchable movie.
It's been in the
they never thought we would
for quite some time.
Been in the can.
It's been in the
actually,
can.
I think
from an artistic standpoint, I mean, it's a pretty good movie when you think about it. I mean, it's scientific.
It broke boundaries.
It's creative.
Yep.
I mean, you're crossing a human with a centipede. Like, there's a lot of stuff here to talk about.
It flows good. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end.
I don't think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think. Hold thank on. You, but I don't think they actually. Well, I don't think it's like The Fly, Dave. Did you watch the correct movie?
I watched.
Wait,
the right movie.
I don't think. I think we're getting.
I actually sewed some of my grandson's stuffed animals together to see, you know, how it would look.
Thank God you said stuffed animals. I was getting nervous.
Well, I just want to. I had to try it on something before I tried it on my kids.
That's Jesus Christ. Now listen, I think we've taken this. I'm feeling a little guilty.
I think it's gone far enough.
I think we've gone far enough.
20 minutes.
My daughter's looking at me with a bad cross eye right now with her two pink stink. Sorry.
Get out of the podcast.
We've never watched that movie. We would never watch that movie. Mikey has never even seen it.
I've never even seen it. And there's a trilogy to be watched. Maybe someday I'll do a full month of it. No, folks, of course, it's April 1st, and we got you. Even though you downloaded the episode and it said what movie we're watching, you probably thought, oh, shit, they screwed up. They sent the wrong one. This was their pilot episode, and they watched a terrible movie. No. In fact, we are here talking about the 2018 Danish film, The Guilty. This movie was first introduced to me by Christopher a couple of years ago. I watched it for a different podcast I do. And we finally, it took Dave weeks and weeks. Dave, are you paying attention? Hello, David. Snap. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Over here. It took Dave weeks and weeks to watch this movie. He called me multiple times asking, what movie are we doing? He's texted both Chris and I saying, what's the name of this movie? And
multiple screenshots,
multiple times,
literally saying it's on HBO Max.
And I texted Chris yesterday. I go, I don't want to tell him anymore. I want to see how this plays out. But luckily, he did watch the movie. Was it yesterday or the day before?
The day before. And honestly, I can't lie, Mikey, to you.
Usually, that's your saying. That's your motto, David. Honest.
This movie, it was actually incredible. And like I said to you earlier, it was like really being immersed in a story, and I wasn't even reading the subtitles anymore. That's how good this movie was. It was like they were actually talking in English.
You mentioned that.
That's
to
how
me.
Fluid.
Go ahead. And you called.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. It's like seamless. It's like you forget you're watching the subtitles. But it's also, Dave, you noticing a theme? Whenever we guarantee that you're gonna love a movie. That you happen to, after much chagrin and putting it off, Lone Survivor again for the fourth time, you end up alive. Right?
I know you didn't win any awards or anything. Did this movie win any awards?
So, Chris's internet didn't win any awards. I'll just say that.
But it was rated 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 87 audience score, because people might not like to read, A- cinema score, 83 Metacritic, on a budget of only $570,000, it made $4.6 million. And I don't know if the producers of this were the ones who were able to sell the American remake, because it was remade with Jake Gyllenhaal for Netflix, and they sold those. I kind of want to see it.
I'll never watch it.
I kind of want to see it just because, I think Gyllenhaal's a great actor.
I watched it.
Oh, and you're still saying boo. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just left me flat after watching the original. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't done as well. It just wasn't done as well. So have we talked What movie recently did we have one location, one setting movie? I thought we had another one because I remember.
Well, there was one where we talked about
saying single so location much, movie, but I can't.
So much took place in one area, but I don't remember if it's. That's an interesting.
This is some good putting
question.
I mean, I just vaguely remember.
But I'm definitely still not editing anything.
Here's the thing. I'm not editing all the fact that we can't talk. It's an anxious movie. It's almost claustrophobic because you're not going anywhere.
Absolutely.
Really is.
Right? Mm-hmm. The tension is so palpable because, again, you're living it through this guy's friggin' eyes. And everything that he's hearing.
Is just his reaction.
Yep. And you keep thinking in the beginning, okay,
you know
what is this going to go on? It doesn't. It just stays right there.
Right. All the action, obviously, off camera, obviously. You know, nothing happens on camera, for obvious reasons, but the actor was incredible.
But it makes you use your imagination. It's literally like you're reading a book. I see them actually hunting for this car on the highway in the beginning. Yep. I can see that. And see them talking to his friends in the station and them going to that person's house and all that stuff. I know you'll get into it, but you see it all happening. So that's how I keep saying, like, you forget that they're even talking Danish. You're just seeing the story unfold.
I agree.
In your mind.
The director was in an interview and he said he was inspired by hearing a real life, like 911 call on YouTube.
Oh, right.
And
because you kind of pictured the same thing.
He was saying what was going on. Yeah.
So, and you think this is just going to be a great kidnapping? You know, he's going to solve this, and that's what he, you know, he obviously is used to being a real cop. We'll get into why he's putting the.
Can you hear him okay, Dave?
He's breaking up a little bit. Like,
yeah. Son of a bitch.
You're breaking up.
Do you want to go back? Do you want to go back to my phone?
Even Let's though do it.
It could be the internet.
Yeah, I might as well.
Okay. I think it's the internet more than anything. Don't worry about the audio sound. When Dave's iPhone is.
My phone's pretty good.
Yeah, you're fine. Maybe your internet's better too, but he works in internet, so I don't know.
Andrew, Emily, where's Andrew? Where'd he go? Son of a bitch.
I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby. This is me. Doesn't look just like me. Put your arms around me, baby. This was the closest I could get. You can make an avatar. They don't have one with thinning hair and a grayish beard. It's just one thing or the other.
Emily, come here. Quick. Look at Mikey, how he wishes he looks so.
This is how I feel I look. I look like a cool intellectual. I could be a professor. I'm like that professor hey, Emily, want to stay after and study?
Mikey, what is this?
I don't know. It's part of the it's the avatar. They have a new avatar for them.
You had hair like that.
I wish I had hair like that 10, 12 years ago.
Have I had issues like this since I've been
look at that eye.
When I was down in the room with
issues.
No, when you were down in the Martha's Vineyard room.
Yeah.
No, it was fine.
There.
My daughter's got pink eye in both eyes. She's disgusting.
And strep throat in my throat. So
Jesus. Stay away from your dad. He's a national treasure.
He slept in my bed last night, rolled all over. I made her wash the sheets though. You know, get out of here. Yeah.
You're like the closest thing to inbreds. I mean, really.
Mikey, put your avatar back on. I don't want to look at your stupid face like that anymore.
What's the difference? We look exactly the same.
You don't look exactly the same at all.
Let's see if I can. Can I edit him?
I can't even look at you right now.
That is weird.
That's how he wishes he looked. All right, go ahead, Mikey. Talk.
Is this better? Hi, guys. I'm a soul man.
This recording.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, I'm a soul man. Dun, 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 dun. Da, da, da. Oops.
Just stop. Put it back on your other one. I can't hear you now. What are you doing?
I'm not talking. I was just sticking my tongue out. What's up, dog?
You gotta teach me how to do these things.
Moo.
Is it hard?
Oh, it is, David. It is. No, it's like, I don't know, it's under settings, backgrounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Built in. I'm not doing anything. Hi. How are you? Wanna see my tail?
Things are so funny.
I'm getting fired. There we go. Yeah. Now,
guys, I was on a roll with this movie.
I know you were.
You're wasting my talents right now.
Hello, hello. It's okay. Me. It's me, Brooklyn Jesus.
Dave did bring up some. Wow, that is creepy. Some good points. So,
you sound perfect.
Yeah, better. Okay. Thank God.
Breaking up to me too. So it was like strange. So I was saying how intense, how he thought he was, you know, he's suddenly put on the sidelines, it seems, right? So he has to take emergency service calls. And he's like, oh, I can be a cop again, you know? And it's all about the movie's obviously all about misconceptions.
Yeah.
And talk
deceit.
About deceit and all about it's obviously a character study. It's just great because you don't know exactly what's going on and you hear little things.
Well, especially in the beginning, because you really have no idea why he's sitting in that position.
Right. Right.
They're alluding to it a lot in the beginning, but they don't really get into it. They really don't get into it at all until the end.
Yeah,
you're getting bits and pieces.
It's great,
but you don't put it all together at the end,
right?
So you're so curious of why he's in that position, and I mean, people are condescending to him. They're putting him down. They seem not to like him very much.
Well, he's basically been a dick.
He's apologized to a couple people.
Yeah,
for stuff we don't even know.
He thinks this is beneath him, and he mocks some of the callers, and that's why it's all about preconceived notions about things and people. And I just thought it was great. I don't know if it was nominated. Well, it was nominated for best foreign language film.
It was nominated for best foreign language film in the Oscars.
I believe so.
I didn't see.
I thought I they said they put.
So it was nominated. Oh. I saw for best foreign language for like the different film critics. I
you
saw
know, film up and it didn't get nominated, which is outrageous. You know what I mean? Because it's each. I think each country not puts up a movie for that. So
it won a bunch of.
In his home country, is he a well known actor?
I don't even know.
I don't know about all that.
So yeah, I didn't even say. I didn't give the details really. It is a 2018 film, written by Gustav Möller and Emil Nygaard Albertsen, directed by Gustav Möller. And really starring only one person, Jacob Sendergan, but also featuring the voices of Jessica Dinage, Omar Shagawi, Johan Gotert Olsen, Jacob Lohman, and Katarina Evers Jensen as Matilda. Lots of like incredible performances by just voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, you can and like when you're hearing them talk, you're visualizing them the whole time.
Actually, like even when you really, like, you're like, oh, I hope he saves her, this poor, you know, this likable woman who
Right. And this prick, Michael. Daughter.
Even the little girl, what an acting performance from her. I mean, she was perfect.
It was also, it had great, you know, that. But what I was going to say is the sound was unbelievable.
Right.
Or had no score. There was no score. And the very end, there was
it
tiny.
It took me, yeah, to find music like to play in the background. I'm like, where the hell? I couldn't find any listing, any soundtrack, anything. I had to take it right from the movie.
For All Men.
What's that?
It had less music than No Country for Old Men, even. I don't think it. Excuse me.
So, yeah, but, I mean, for those who don't know and they're just listening because they love us, this is, it's almost a one man, it's almost like a one man play, but you hear these phone calls that he's taking. I mean, there are a few other faces that pop up. At one point, I forgot and I thought, does anyone else even come into focus? Like the guy next to him.
And I really do appreciate that in this movie, though. I do appreciate it. It's very theatrical for a one-man show.
Yes, the director did a great job. Yeah. The director did some of those cuts, some of the shots of just his, you know, his near.
The camera, the zooming in, the zooming, like, it was just perfect. Yeah. And I'm not a geek like you guys with that stuff, but that was part of the movie.
There's one shot I love when, I know we'll get to it later, but when he closes the blinds, closes the first one, closes the second one. Then all of a sudden people start to notice and they're looking like, what is he doing there?
It's the one other setting. There's two rooms. The whole movie takes place in two rooms. But this movie, when I recommend it to people, it's like one of the most confident, like it's impossible to not appreciate and like this movie.
Right? Unless they hate, you know, reading a movie. Like an idiot.
Yeah. You'd have to be a real...
Low life.
They should just jump off the bridge. Don't do that, guys.
Yeah. I forgot the end. When a certain thing happened, I thought, yeah, I remember that. And then we get the extra little stinger. I'm like, oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Well,
so get into it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
What were we going to say, Dave?
No, it's perfect. I'm gonna go get a refill as you guys started.
Oh, sure. Hey, man, take your time. You just
okay. I got to start writing bigger. So, 2018, The Guilty, another Danish film. Like I said, you get the black screen, the phone rings, you get the close up, putting his headset on, emergency services. So, you know, he takes a couple calls. His first call, I believe,
it's a little lighthearted.
Yeah, Nicolaj. I need your address. It pans back, so we can actually see. Asper.
Jesus Christ!
So immediately he's skeptical. He's like, "Oh, he figures he took something. He took speed or something." He said it's your own fault, right? Right. Yep. The guy's freaking out. So send an ambulance and the police. The guy hangs up. So. Wow, what is it? Is pizza?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say one thing, because once Dave sees a movie, he calls me a few times and we do the podcast basically over the phone. And I'm like, save it. But he brought up, like, what is it with these Danish people making these great movies? Because we had two Danish, you know, it just, like, it makes me think there's a whole other world of movies out there that I'm not paying attention to enough.
Yeah. Yep.
We're still going to have to do Riders of Justice, right?
Oh, hell yes. Three for three, Dave.
We've seen this in another round. Two of my favorite movies we've done.
Well, wait till you watch Riders of Justice.
What?
What's it called?
Riders of Justice.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
You'll go three for three.
Yeah. So Asker is pretty skeptical of every caller. But his cell phone rings. He gets the call. He's asked who it is. They finally identify themselves as a journalist. He gets all pissed off. No comment.
So that's the first little inkling that there's something. Yeah. There's some story for him that's going on.
Right,
as well.
Happening with him, obviously. So then he gets reprimanded. Do they show this female cop?
Yeah. They do later. I don't know if they show her at that point.
Because this is the only time for Dave.
What?
Yeah, this is the only chance, Dave.
This is the only chance in this movie.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
No, I pictured Eben being pretty hot.
They don't show Eben.
Yeah, that works. That works.
In my mind's eye, I saw her as being hot.
She's crazy hot.
Yeah. Crazy hot is bright.
So he gets reprimanded. So then we see this, it's set up. It's all in one room. He takes another call. The guy got mugged and shows his screen, what he's looking at. It shows the general area. You see the cell plotting
so
on the
cell. You see the top. Yeah. They mention, I don't know if it's there, but he mentions at some point, we can't get precise location only by the tower, by the cell tower.
Exactly. Cell tower. Guys telling them what happened. A woman stole my laptop. And how did she get in the car? And then ask her smirking. He's like, you're in the red light district, right? So he's got a woman, a lady of night. So calls dispatch. He gets his boss. They do shift. They switch off because he's like, is that you, Bo, I guess? He's like, what are you doing there? He's like, you know, he tells Asker he'll be back on the street soon.
Yeah, so that was his boss. I thought that was his boss at the police station.
So regular. He's surprised. He's at that, you know, answering.
I noticed he still had a gun on him. Like he wasn't not a police officer.
Right.
I noticed at one point, he still had his.
Well, he also had his police uniform on versus the other two that had the white uniforms.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
True. We're gonna have to break down the ranks.
He obviously thought he was better than the people that were in that room answering phones.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's probably why he, you know, has to apologize. He's probably just been a dick to them. So Bo tells Asker he'll be back on the street soon. He says he's going to send a car out to this guy that got mugged. Asker tells him to wait, let him stew a little.
Yeah.
So then the guy's telling him about a big bus. You can tell he misses the real police work, right?
Yep, they have some small talk, some chuckles.
Yeah. Goes back to the guy, tells him patrol car's on the way. So he's, like I said, like Dave mentioned, the great camera shots is zooming in on his face. Just he's pondering something, shot of the glass of Alka-Seltzer, whatever the Danish version is. So
it's like the movie, I mean, it's not like groundbreaking to say, but the movie lives and dies with him.
Like oh yeah,
it either works or it doesn't work.
Yep. I don't buy that, Mikey. I actually don't buy that.
So you think if it's a lesser, like you think anybody could do that? That's what I mean. Like
no, I think you have to have all the other contributing factors, though. I think you have to have all the other people.
Oh no, no, you're right. Yes, but he's saying most. I feel like he's bringing it all together. I'm not saying he's the only thing because
the other
performances are amazing. Over the
yeah,
right.
I think you have to have all those things colliding in one to make his performance that much more believable, because they make it believable with all their tension, you know.
But his acting is unbelievable.
It's incredible. Yep. Yeah, but I also think that the camera angles and the again that whole like how they shot it that was just as much as
possible. Like you said, claustrophobic.
Kind directed. Of. Yep. So
helplessness.
I'm actually watching it right now.
So gets good. A call, emergency services. Nobody says anything. He sees it's Eben, sees the name. And then she's like, okay, sweetie. He's like, you called emergency services. He's chuckling. He's like, have you been drinking, Eben? Why did you call emergency services? And he's about to hang up. She's like, okay, sweetie. And then he's like, okay, something's going on. Does the person you are with know you called us? Nope. She answers right away, you know. Who does the person think you called? And she's like, yes, sweetie. So he's like, oh, your child? Yes. Does he have a weapon? I can't read. I don't know. He's like, you're in a car. I could hear it. And then he asks, you're abducted? Yes. So that's like, holy shit. Right. Like,
okay. Here we go. This is the story we're going with.
Plot. Right. If you had no idea, I had no idea what the plot was when I watched this movie, you know, when I first watched it. So he said, he's trying to figure it out. He's like, keep pretending you're talking to your child. So he's like, I have to put you on hold, Eben. And he calls dispatch. He says, we have a woman abducted. Patrol car's coming. Let me know when it passes. And then you hear Michael in the background. Let me talk to him. And he's like, Eben is about to hang up. He says, I just call her first. He's like, say it's fine when he does it. You know, he does a little code.
Yeah,
he's
pretty quick as far as like, I mean, that's probably part of their training, but like,
yes, but right,
what
right.
to do to like, you know, when in that situation.
Yeah, right. But he hasn't been very long either. So the fact that he picked up on that pretty fast is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been doing this position for how long, you know?
Yeah, but you could tell he's like, this is like real police work to him. So he's getting fired up, and you're rooting for this, you know what I mean? Not knowing what's going on is the.
Well, you're also thinking, okay, well, if they can't figure it out, when is he leaving this building and taking it on himself? That's what I thought in the beginning. I'm like, he's going to be leaving.
Don't even know it. Right. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know it was a one location movie. So she says, it's fine when he says it's white. Okay. It's white. She says it's a van. He's like, oh no, shit. Just answer yes or no. So he calls dispatch, wants to talk to the patrol car that's following him. He's like, tell him it's a van. Trying to figure out what the car is. There's a lot of him just listening, shots of his face, right? So you hear in the background, they pull a van over. He just shows his face.
I love that. You just hear what he's hearing. Like, it's not, it's just it's background noise. It's just, right. Well, intense. What a sound design, whatever the hell it is.
So wrong van, no woman. So he calls patrol back. He's like, I need them to look for a white van. They're like, we need more than that. So he only has her home phone. He calls it. And then you get Matilda answers. I'm the police. How old are you? 6. My brother's just a baby. Matilda says they left mom and dad. Not sure where. Does your father have a white van? He doesn't live here anymore. His name is Michael. So says she isn't allowed to visit him. So right now he's, Asker's picturing things in his head. Maybe she has a restraining order and that's why he kidnapped her. So she suddenly recites a number, the cell phone, right? So he's able to look up the name.
Yeah, and she says, I'm not allowed to write it down, which I didn't. It made it seem like he's guilty.
Well, that's how they're framing up the entire time.
Right. I was trying to figure out the logic behind that one, but I don't know.
So he looks up the info with the phone number. He sees his, name, his plate number. He's like, Matilda starts crying. He's like, what happened? Dad came home, got mad, yelled at mom, went into all of his room and yelled.
That's when I remembered. Oh, right.
Brutal. Yeah. So took the knife and left. She's afraid he's going to hurt mom. Asker assures her, calms her down. Nothing will happen. The police are protectors. You know that, right? Going to send officers over to check on the kids. So I have to go now. She doesn't want to be left alone. He tells her to sit with Oliver. Dad told me not to. Not allowed. Ugh. Go in quietly and sit with them. She's like, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. So he hangs up. So he asks around, anyone else got a call from Eben? He's getting antsy. He calls dispatch, gives him a plate number, gives him a name. He has a knife.
A lot of him is just, he can't sit still. He
right.
Can't, like, he's got to just call him this, call him that. Trying the number, trying Eben, trying Michael.
At one point, his shift is over and he stays.
Yep. They're like, what would they say? Like, we have 10 minutes to go.
Right. Yep. So he asks them what's their plan. He's like, what's your plan? He doesn't love being on the sidelines. The lady's like, shut up. Wait till.
Man is to do your job.
Exactly. So he calls back, tells him to send a car to the kids. He gets pissed off, whips his headset. So he's thinking, just pondering. So the guy's name is Torben. This is the only time we see first time we see Torben. I apologize for my behavior. He gives him, been a dick the whole time, shakes his hand. So he's like, oh, why was he nice to him? Oh, can I ask you a technical question? Right.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that. He asked him so he could. Yeah.
So immediately. So he's like, the last call, how can I find out about it? And he's like, well, it doesn't follow your, the phone, it follows your login. So that's why he's like, okay, I'm going to take it in the other room. Just use my login. So guy's like, shift's almost over. I'm like, okay, well, I'm seeing this through. So nobody can see him in the other room.
He probably doesn't want to go home either, considering what we learn later.
Yeah, right. So he calls his boss, Bo, and dispatch, saying how boring it is. So he's like, this is where he's like, I want a car sent to Berg's house. He asked him for a favor. I want a car sent to Burton, and they're like, North Zealand. Is that the other location? He's like, that's not in their district. And the guy's like, he basically wants him to break in. Right. Bo's like, this isn't your job. What are you talking about?
He's also again, he's pretty wary about his partner. He loves his partner, but obviously his partner put him through a lot of bullshit.
No, no, right? This isn't his partner. This is his boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His boss. His boss tells him it's not his job. This is like, do you want to see a psychiatrist? And he's like, no. He's like, go to court tomorrow. You'll be back on the street. So then he says,
get a little more clue of stuff going on with him.
Yeah, he says, give your life love to your wife and ask her after he hangs up, says, you know, she left me or something.
Yeah. So just like Jesus.
So you see, and then you see some great cam work. You see a shot of his back, and then you see him like playing with his ring, his wedding ring. So he's like thinking what to do. He calls Eben's number, voicemail, calls North Zealand again for an update. They pissed off. He's calling.
They're just like annoyed. He's just bugging them.
Yeah.
So like, didn't they say, is that when they said, do you have something new? He's like, no, I'm just checking.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so he gets another emergency service calls. He's such a, he really just throws these aside.
This is the girl who hurt her knee?
I don't think.
Is this the bike?
Yeah, this is, I don't think it's the girl who got hurt. This is a guy, I think he was getting a fight.
That's right. He's like, F this, he's at some club or something.
Guy swears at him, right?
Yeah.
So then he looks at Michael's number. He calls him. He Michael answers. Who's this? Copenhagen police. Your son and daughter are home alone. Can you go check on them? I can't now. He's like, he goes, I know Eben is with you. He's like, so he freaking hangs up. So tries to reach him back. He can't. Uses his cell phone number. Yells his cell phone number. His cell phone calls Rashid. Right. That's his partner. What's up, partner? Right. I need a. This guy's been drinking too, by the way.
And you discover why he's drinking.
Well, he's listening to Fine Movies, Fine Spirits podcast.
Exactly. the other round.
Yeah. So he tells him he needs a favor. He needs him to drive. And he's like, oh, you've been drinking. You know, that's all
one
right.
Or two. He's like, okay, you can drive. Well, I'm more like four or five.
You don't drink. He's like, you know, you're my witness tomorrow. He's pretty nervous. They're not going to pull it off. Afraid he's going to say something contradictory. He's like, stick to the plan. So I need you to drive, you know, probably had five or six, he says. So gives him the address. The boss comes in the room, the female boss. He thinks he's in trouble, but he has a phone call. Matilda's calling.
Matilda, yep. The girl's calling back.
So someone's outside. It's the police. This part's intense, huh?
Oof.
Let them in. They're police. You hear the police talking to her, talks to Asghar, says, this is Officer Tim. Says, and then when he says to Matilda, what's that? You just see Asghar's face.
And she says, it's not mine. That's not like this first clue, like
blood. Yeah.
What's going on? He's like, she has blood on her hands. You're like, oh, fuck. So go check on Oliver. It's like, did you find him? You know, it's crazy because you're looking strictly through Asghar's point of view. Guy's giving him the play by play. Here it is. It's a bedroom.
I'm in the kitchen.
Your heart's immediately in your throat.
I know.
Because you don't know what's going to happen to this little child. And you're like, and then obviously the inevitable happens. And it's like, what a fucking gut punch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it was inevitable. You really didn't know that was going to.
You kind of do when she saw the blood.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. So
she's the blood,
dead. The guy's like, hey, how do you know? I could tell. Check if he's breathing. He's cut up. He cut him open. He says, oh, so. You just see Asker's face. He's like, so his shift is over. The other guy tells him he's sticking around, obviously upset. This is when he closes the blinds, right? Yep. Gets pissed off, calls Michael. He's like, don't tell me.
That was the point, where he's going to do everything he can to bring down Michael.
Yep. Says, what's your plan? He's like, Matilda saw it. And he's like, oh, no. Imagine this poor guy, too. You know, I told her not to. I mean, I don't know about his planning, you know.
Well, you're still like, this fucking guy killed his son.
Of course.
That's right. You're like, what the fuck?
Right.
And this guy's a piece of shit. And like, you know, now he's going to get his comeuppance at some point.
I didn't even entertain my mind that. I didn't entertain the thought that there was like going to be a twist of some kind, you know?
What a twist that was.
So he closes all the blinds. He calls Michael. I'm sorry. He's like, yeah. You know, he's getting mad. What's your plan? Matilda Sara, I told her not to go in there. Like I said, she shouldn't have gone in there. Michael's crying not to, you know, this stops now. I can't, what will happen? You'll go to prison. And he's like, you should be fucking executed. Obviously, Asker's pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking he did that. So Rashid calls him back and found the house. He tells him to break in. Tells the man killed him. You know, he tells him the man killed his son. He kidnapped his wife. You know, he's like, did you get assigned to do this? No, I assigned myself. Just start going through all the papers, right? He wants to know where he's going into North Zealand. So he calls Eben. So she fakes like she's talking to Matilda again. You see his hand shaking, right? He's asks her if she has her seatbelt on. This is great. You're like, oh, yeah,
is. Yes. Yeah, like.
No, it's like, Michael, no. Pull the handbrake now. So you hear the call disconnect, right?
When it disconnects, back. I'm like, oh, shit.
Right. Calls her back voicemail. Someone else. Oh, this is when he gets the call. Some girl crashed her bike. He's like, call back later. I don't have time.
I need an ambulance. Just take a taxi for a knee.
Don't ride drunk. He probably would be fired if, you know, he was like.
That's like you at Sears all those years ago.
What's that?
That's like him now.
He was at Sears all those years ago with the customers.
Oh, it's Sears.
Now he's good with customers.
Yeah, I never did that drunk.
Yeah, sure.
They did a quick side story. Some woman I was selling a treadmill to. We know that story, right?
No, I don't think so. I'm ready for it.
I think I remember, but go ahead. Remind us.
I turned the treadmill on and she just jumped on it. She didn't know how to use a treadmill, obviously, and she took a header, right? Oh, Jesus Christ. I was showing her how, and so she seemed fine, left. And then like a couple months later, I see her taking a picture of it. And I was like, what do you sue and see is? And she's like, she's like, you didn't tell me how to get on the treadmill or. And I said, I didn't tell you also to stick your, I didn't tell you not to stick your face on the belt. So I remember. So she probably won her case. No wonder Sears is out of business. But the lawyer asked me some questions.
It's oh, great. Wow.
Yeah, Sears lawyer, he was like Saul. Asked some questions. I told him what happened. I saw him like 6 months later walking through Sears. He goes, hey, you push anybody off any treadmills lately? Like, you wonder why Sears is out of business. So I don't know how we went off that tangent. So
that's the woman, service.
He hangs up on the woman, you know, and he gets a call. So even his face is intense. She's in the back of the van. I don't want to be locked up. Hello. We
right,
don't know what.
See,
so
knowing it, and then you hear her say that, you're like, okay, what you think is she doesn't want to be locked up in the back of the van.
In the back of the van. That's exactly what I thought.
Right. So he calls Bo accidentally, hangs up on him, calls North Zealand, tells them to send somebody. They need the address. So he goes back to Eben, calming her down. You know, you're not going to die. You need to defend yourself. Look around. What does he do? He's a bricklayer. Grab a brick. If he stops and opens the door, hit him. You know, she's hysterical. This is when they kind of connect, right? He's asking her favorite food, pork sausage. He's like, I don't eat pork. She's asking if he's a Muslim. But she's talking about the aquarium, right?
Yep.
So, like I said, she's talking about the water. And you could see it makes sense later that she's just obviously has issues, right?
Right. The peacefulness of the water, getting away.
Yeah,
from
stillness to silence.
Yeah. And
she's like, I like you, Asker. I like you too, Eben. So she says, we're stopping. And he's like, Don't forget, hit him with a brick.
As hard as you can.
This is when she suddenly says, all of this is fine. You know, he isn't crying now. And he's like, what do you mean? The snakes. This is when you're like,
what?
And he's like, that's snakes. Slungeons. He's like, what snake? He was in so much pain. You know, they were in his stomach because of the snakes. I took them out.
I feel like the realization is just hitting him.
That was like, oh my God, what the fuck?
It really was. And
was the what the fuck moment.
And then you're like, I just armed this woman and told them to smash her husband in the head.
Well, you can see his face, the pure like confusion running through his mind.
As you see his reaction, you're having the same reaction. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh no, what happened? So she's like, oh, you know, she's like, I took them out. Holy fuck. He's floored. He's like breaking up. You know, he's like kind of choked up. You know, she's like, tell me he's fine. He isn't fine, you crazy bitch. No, he doesn't say. So this is when Michael gets to the door. She hits him and asks, like, oh, shit, what the fuck have I done? You know,
oops.
So
his phone rings. And it's Rashid.
But he doesn't say a word. Rashid tells him they went to court, criminal charges, letters from a lawyer. It's a psychiatric center in North Zealand.
And you see on the...
And he's like, she doesn't want to be locked up there. Right.
Right. And you see on the computer that they're like, where they're heading is right in that direction. So that's obviously where Michael's been taking her all this time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's crazy though. So he calls Michael, right?
You hear Michael's like, oh, I just got hit in the head with a brick. who told her to do that?
Psychiatric center. Yes, she hits me. She hit me. I don't know where she is. I'm sending the police. And he's like, no, I haven't done anything. He's like, I know you didn't. So, and Asker's getting mad that why didn't you call the police before? You know, basically
it's
saying
like,
he's trying to blame someone else. He's right. Like, you know, why didn't you? And he's like, oh, and then the guy was like, tells him.
This was his best part of it.
He tried.
Like, yeah.
Nobody ever helped me. And then he's like, fuck you. My son is dead. You know, just wanted to help even. So.
Still loved her. Still loves the lady, you know?
Yeah,
he's trying to help Eben, right? She didn't know what she was doing, he says later, yeah.
And then he said he's going home to Matilda. I told her not to go in there. And you see Asker's face like, eesh. Like, he can't even say that, right?
Sorry, not to break it, but have you seen the Celtics score against the Bucks?
No.
It's halftime. They're up 75-47.
What?
The Celtics are playing the Bucks at halftime.
I know that.
It's 75-47 at the half.
That's crazy.
That is quite crazy.
The Bucks play anybody? Because they pretty much...
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's...
Greg's going to get mad when he heard that. Okay, hey, so... Michael says Eben had no idea she heard Oliver. So this is the climactic end. When he calls Eben voicemail, smashes the phone.
Smashes everything, right? Like that workstation is unusable now, so he has to go back out.
And this was great job by the director too. He's when he's like bathed in the red light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His face. So this is so he calls Rashid first. He tells him to go. He says, don't lie for me. You know, I fired the shot. And the guy's pissed. I can't change my story. I already lied. It'll contradict what I said before. So he tells Asker to go home to your wife and get some sleep. So finally someone calls him and says, you know, you get a phone call. Eben's calling for him. So he's like, I'll take it in there. This is where he takes it in the room with everybody else.
Right. So everyone hears what he has to say.
Yep. Puts on the headset. Is that you, Asker? Yes, I'm here. So, you know, I killed Oliver, didn't I? He's like, where are you? Don't lie to me. He's like, you didn't mean to. Oh, she notices the blood on her hands finally. So
he notices, or he hears cars.
He hears cars. He's like, what do you see? I hear cars way down. You on a bridge? I'm going to jump. You know, tell them I didn't mean to. So he's like, no, they know. Michael knows. He was trying to help you. And she's like, you said it was, you know, I was wrong. It's all my fault. My fault you're on the bridge.
We forgot to mention when he was talking to his partner, he told his partner, you know, you don't have to lie for me. He's like, did we say that? I might have missed that.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. Sorry.
That's okay. I just want to make sure I didn't cut out.
No, you haven't been cutting out at all. It's been perfect.
So he's like... He's like, it's wrong. It's all my fault. So this is his, he's like, I just, you know, everything was wrong. Everything I understood was wrong. And all he wants to do now is save her. Right. If there's one thing he could, one good thing that he can do.
Cause he realizes she's on a bridge.
This is his way to redeem himself.
Yeah.
What he did.
Yep. Definitely. So but he's like, you know, he knows he was guilty, the guilty. So when he says it's my fault, he suddenly says he has to, you know, play his cards to just get her to get her to understand how, you know, he's coming clean.
To break through, right? To like get through to her.
killed a man. Do you hear me? His name was Joseph Youngboy. She's like, why didn't you, why? She's like, because I could. I claimed it was self-defense, but it wasn't. I wanted to remove something. So she's like, did you want to remove the snakes? He's like, yep, it was snakes. She loves the slanges. So he just wants to save her because he promised Matilda too, right?
Yep. Like, you got to go home to her, yeah.
Yeah, I would save, you know.
How did they name this movie The Guilty? Obviously, it's such a great...
Right, because who is the guilty?
Who
you
is
think
the guilty?
It's Michael. You think it's right? Eben, but it's kind of him.
Definitely ask.
Yeah.
Right. So she's like, he just wants to have some redemption, you know. Mm-hmm. So the cops are there now. She's like, you know, you're a good man. You don't know what happens.
It cuts off.
He calls back three times. He thinks he thinks she jumped. And then
everyone's looking at him now too.
Yep. He calls the North Zealand again. They're like, we have her. She came down. So, and he's like relieved. He gets up. But the picture you sent, Mike, what a great end.
Well, yeah. And they just say to him, good work, like good job, and hang up. And that's all he gets out of it. And he's like,
yep.
Is it, did I, you know, whoa, like he's completely shook up
into the door.
He goes to the door, and I don't know if he's trying to call his ex-wife. I don't know if he's trying to call Rashid. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably getting fired. Going
probably
to
should
jail.
Call Rashid. Let him know.
Yeah, poor Rashid. Poor Rashid, but excellent movie. Just
excellent. Simple and so effective.
Mm-hmm. Goes down smooth. That's good. What I tell Dave. It gets right into it. Right, Dave? Like,
I love this movie. I just like the fact that it was more like reading a book than watching a movie. That's how I just love that. And honestly, I was done watching it and I was just blown away. Completely blown away. And I couldn't really put it all together until the next day when I started to really try to think about what this movie was, because it was nothing like I've ever seen before.
It was.
It's a good description, like a book, because you're just... You just—it's almost like an audio book or something like.
You're really just immersed in the story. You really are the whole time. You can see her on the bridge at the end. Yep. You can see the holding unfold. You can see them putting a blanket around her when they take her off.
Right, like
as it.
Well, in handcuffs.
Yeah, it lets you visualize the way. It makes you visualize the way you want to see it. To be honest,
like there are podcasts out there that do this kind of thing, like audio plays, and that's almost what this was, really.
Yeah.
So true, but you do get to see the incredible acting.
Oh yeah.
Like you know, like just a small, you know, limited character study, but right. It's like a book told through his face and his eyes. Yep. But excellent. And, I don't see how someone can't like that movie.
No, it's pretty spectacular.
I think you have to be kind of dim-witted not to like it, because you just wouldn't understand it.
Exactly.
I'd like this movie.
That Philistine. You have to be a Philistine. That's the word I was thinking of.
Yeah. You don't want to be a simpleton. Yeah. And that goes for our next movie as well. Because, you know,
one of my all time favorites, to be honest.
Guys,
top five for me.
We're going back for the third time in five movies. We're going back to 1993. What is it with 1993 in this group of people?
Yeah, graduated. That's why it has to do Infinity movie.
Yes. This movie, I don't think it was based on a book or a play or anything like that. We're going back to 1993 to see the Richard Linklater classic, Dazed and Confused.
All you graduating high schoolers out there. Yep. Oh, what a movie. I
was saying, for this movie that we talked about today, no clips because it's all in a different language. Next time, expect more of the usual, because I'm going to be in overdrive with all the quotes and clips coming out of this movie. And music. Oh, my God.
We may have extra, of course, music. I won't even get into it, but... my friend Brian, who I mentioned several times, always mentions this movie. And my brother Greg, I think...
The more the merrier.
Requested it before, so maybe we'll have one of them on.
Well,
Matthew McConaughey's first movie, and what a performance from him.
He changed his life. Yeah.
Oh, such a great movie. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to start watching it right now.
I just assumed you already were.
I already did last week.
Me too. I watched it last week too. But yeah, I actually watched it before we watched this movie.
I used to watch the movie a lot. I haven't seen it in many, many years, so I'm looking forward to it. But listen, you can find us on Twitter and on Instagram. On Twitter, it's fine_movies. On Instagram, it's fine_movies, fine spirits. And until next time, when we're doing Dazed and Confused, happy April, everybody. I apologize if you got really excited thinking we were doing Human Centipede. There's Chris. Christopher made a wonderful diagram, and it shows three human-like people sewn together, showing the tube where the food goes in to one mouth, out of the bum, into another mouth, and so on and so forth. And with that, David, are there any parting words from you?
No, I got that one.
Cool. Great. he's not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks. And Christopher, any parting words from you?
You catch us on Twitter. Mike will give you the handle. Slanges. Slanges sounds like it should be a drink. It a salute.
It is know, now.
But Slanges.
Slanges. Oh, I forgot to say I'm drinking a hard Fresca. Anyway, that's it. Until next time, say goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mikey. Goodbye, Chris.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. And we feel fine.
Is my son home?
What a podcast. What a professional. 1993.
Why don't you go in the other room?
I think he is in the other room. I think he's in his bedroom.
Oh, me?
Are you in your bedroom?
No, I'm in my bedroom. My son and my daughter are yelling at each other right now. It's pretty hilarious. Listen.
Can you tell him you have something very important to do?
Guys, I'm busy doing a podcast. Shut up.
All right. Well, there's the ending. We have our ending.
My son just called me a whore.